Wow. I hate doing intros so much. Okay. I have to stop saying that I hate doing intros during intros because it has become a thing now. We're not gonna edit that out, are we? Fucking goddamn it. Okay. Well, hey, hi, hello. Welcome to TV Casualty, the podcast about TV shows that I've never seen. Today, we got a great guest visiting New York from Baltimore, where he now lives. Put your hand, fucking goddamn it. It's Eric DeDorian.
Should I talk now?
Yeah, you can talk now.
Hello?
Hey.
Get your ears ready for this. That's
Bam,
what you,
bam.
I think that's the podcast thing of like put your hands together.
Yeah,
Just
get your ears
like,
ready. Bam, bam, din, din,
open
din,
up
din,
your
din.
buds, puds.
Crank this one up in your car, idiot.
Here comes some funky noise.
Here we are.
For that ass.
Getting ready to talk at you for about an hour.
And if you're going to sleep right now, I hope you're cozy as fuck.
Yeah.
And I hope you're sleepy and dreamy, but leave the podcast on.
If you're working, I hope you are not having a stressful day.
And if you're in an Uber right now, you're about to fucking die.
No, that is true. That is true.
Get out. Get
Get
out.
out. Go get the
Jump
fuck
out.
out.
Jump out.
I recently had a Uber driver like stop driving to show me something he was looking at on Facebook. And I was like, you can't do that
That's like
one.
an Uber driver jumping the shark.
Yeah, it's like, come on, man. He like, because he had his GPS and his phone both on the dashboard, like hooked up to the little suction cup things.
Yeah.
And then he was just like scrolling. He's like, man, it was like up, it was about the hurricane. Or like, it was, he was like, man, look at all this damage. And I
Yeah.
was like, this is too much. This
Yeah.
is like, you're so on the nose that
Yeah.
this can't happen.
That's also just a thing that people do now. It's
Yeah.
just like, I just did that right now at a coffee shop earlier today. I was like on my phone and I was like looking at all the earthquake stuff from Mexico City and I was like out loud, I was like, fuck. And then the guy at next to me in the coffee shop was like, what? I was like, oh, this the Mexico City earthquake. And then we like talked for a long time
Yeah.
about natural disasters and how the world's ending.
Oh yeah. It's what I don't know. I don't want to break this to anyone the hard way, but I'm no scientist. I'm just
You're
not.
close. You're getting
I'm
there.
no.
What?
I think if you stick with it, I think you're almost
I
there.
think I'm so close. I have like two or three more night classes to
Yeah.
take, and then I think,
Yeah.
honey, I'm Dr. Mike.
Yeah. You need
And
one really bad haircut.
yeah. I guess, I mean, some would say I'm already there.
Yeah. No,
But I
no.
wouldn't.
That's what I'm saying. You
I
look
feel.
too, it looks too good and cool.
Oh yeah. I did see a video. This has nothing to do with science or natural disasters, but I did see a video from like one of those cool media companies. Well, I don't remember which one it
Yep.
was, like Cafe dot, you know,
Oh
one of
yeah.
those, whatever. But it was just teaching you how to give yourself a bowl cut, and I was like,
Oh, I saw
I
that.
feel like this is not
Yeah.
needed.
Yeah.
It's very easy. You put the bowl on
Yeah.
and you cut. And then
Or like this is how you make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich inside a pizza and a hot dog. And it's
yeah.
just like really like handsome looking hands like
Yeah.
slowly making it happen on it. I yeah,
And then
those
you're just
videos.
like, oh, okay, yeah. I
Great.
mean, you could have just told me.
Oh God, there's so much content.
I have been told that content is king.
Yeah. That's what my dad told me the first thing he ever said.
He said, welcome to the world, and remember.
And then he gave me a USB drive and he kicked me out of his house.
My dad told me I'm not allowed to move back in with him until I become a Vine star.
Bring some content back in this fucking
Yeah.
house.
You, oh, listen, if
Which
I'm
was weird in the 80s. Like, my dad was pretty ahead of it this
Yeah.
time. It's weird that he wasn't making content. I guess he made me. I guess I'm content. Are
You
we
are
content?
our kid.
Yeah.
Children are content?
Oh,
Is that the way
definitely.
that sentence should go?
Definitely in some neighborhoods. They're like, for sure, like,
Yeah.
your kid is dressed super cool. And what's
Yeah.
your kid's name again? That's
Oh,
content.
God. Yeah.
Oh, this is actually content. That's
Yeah.
what the
This is
kid's name
this is my baby content. Yeah, there's my buddy, my friend of the show, Diego Lopez,
Friend of the show.
who I live with. He teaches children mixed martial arts in
Yeah.
Williamsburg. And he told me, he has a joke about it, but he told me that he had a child whose name was Zapata. And that the parents were just like
The shoe? Like a shoe?
I felt like the Mexican revolutionary.
Yeah.
And they were just like,
Wait, how do you say shoe in Spanish?
Oh, I couldn't tell you.
Zapatería, right? Is that what it is?
I'm
All
gonna
right. That's a shoe store. I mean, okay.
Yeah. We're gonna maybe that's what it is. Maybe we'll that's what the out. Joke is. This, are you looking it up, Producer Life? Producer Life is here. Producer Steve Albini has been gone for a while still, but Producer Life is here.
He's on tour finding himself.
Yeah, yeah, he was having fun. We had producer Steve Albini for a couple weeks, which was nice.
It's a tough get.
I know. It was
very impressed.
Yeah, I, you know what? The fun thing is I don't even put him in the description or anything. It's just like, you know, I just had Producer Steve Albini, and he was just here making recording.
Why not?
Zapato.
Yeah. That's true, right?
I think that's Zapato.
Yeah.
What about with an A?
That's the...
At the end.
Is Emilio Zapata.
Yeah.
I think that's just a... Let's see.
The man. Look, I just love the internet. Listen, this isn't an ad, but I just want to tell everyone, get the internet.
Well, this says shoe.
Yeah.
Also shoe?
Because it's the feminine...
Oh, a lady's shoe. Oh, that's why they were weird, because his son was named after a lady's shoe.
Yeah. Mm.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
Were they white?
I believe so.
Oh, boy.
I believe so. I think that's why.
Oh, babe.
Yeah.
They're just like,
yeah. It's like, oh, man, you're going to have a hard life. You are really going to have a hard life.
I can't wait to find out.
How hard their life is?
No, I mean, like, I hope, you know, nobody's life is that hard.
Yeah.
But I can't wait to find out what our generation's kids are going to be like when they're adults.
Oh, yeah. I think I negatively influenced a child's life on accident the other day.
I think we all do it all the time.
I didn't even realize.
Yeah.
I was in my own head, like, I was running to catch a bus, and I was really mad because I was running late and it was raining and all this stuff. And I'm running at the bus, which is at the stop, and I'm, like, waving at the bus driver being like, I'm getting on the bus. And he, like, made hard eye contact with me and then drove away.
Yeah.
So I got really mad and I was just, like, got too aggro and I spit at the bus.
Yeah.
And then I didn't realize that there was, like, a mom and her kid right there.
Yeah.
And then the kid was like, why did he spit at the bus? And then the mom was just like, well, the bus didn't stop.
Yeah.
And that was it. And then that was the whole conversation.
At least she was on your side.
Yeah, yeah, like, she was. And I wanted to be like, I'm so sorry. But she, or like they had already walked away.
Yeah. And it's like, I mean, you didn't spit because you missed the bus. You spit because the bus driver made eye contact with you and like spitefully drove
away. Right. Yeah, being like, fair. I can't wait the 15 seconds for you to run down the street so you can get it. Yeah.
Yeah, you definitely don't want to like, don't want kids to be like, you know, open to that early.
But yeah. Like, hey. He was probably like, I don't know. He wasn't too old. He was still asking his mom questions like that. But he's probably like 7 or 8, which is not great, but...
City kids.
Hey, listen, if you live in Brooklyn, you're gonna see way worse things than a man spitting at the bus in the afternoon.
Yeah. The last time I was here, I was getting on the bus, the Bolt bus back to Baltimore, and we're all like all lined up waiting. And there was a young mom behind me in line, and there was a kid, and she had a kid in the stroller, but she had like all this stuff and like bags and stuff. And so I like let her pass in front of me, and the stroller got stuck, and she was like trying to like, she was like really pushing it to like get past the thing, and the kid wasn't strapped in.
Oh,
so
geez.
She did it really hard, and the kid just like slid down.
Oh,
and I was smoking a cigarette, but I like dropped the cigarette really fast, and I just like scooped the kid up before he hit the ground.
Yeah,
and she didn't say anything.
Really?
Yeah, she was just like so stressed out that she was like,
yeah,
I'm just glad my kid didn't. I was just like put the kid back in. And the kid had, like, a pacifier in his mouth, and he just kind of stared at me for a second, put the kid back in the seat, and then that was that.
And that was the whole, yeah. And just not even like, oh, cool.
Yeah. Nothing.
Great. Yeah.
And then I looked around, and then finally I think some dude in the back, like, begrudgingly was like, nice save, dude. Like, okay. Do you want, like, clearly saw the look on my face that was like, please somebody acknowledge me right fucking now or I'm going to scream.
I did a nice thing.
I did a good fucking thing.
And I need to be acknowledged
for
it.
And I was so hungover. That was the thing. I was so hungover, hadn't had coffee, and it just kind of came out of me.
Yeah. Oh, I'm like, it was pointed out to me recently by my girlfriend that I'm the kind of guy who, like, has to see the person, like if I'm getting a sandwich or something,
right?
I have to have the person see that
the
I'm tipping.
Tip? Yeah,
I have to
have
them.
One of those.
I know it's such a piece of shit move, and it was pointed out to me. And then she was like, "They don't care."
Yeah,
it's like it doesn't matter. You're giving them a dollar, and I was just like, "I don't care." It makes me feel good. I need them to see it happen.
My old job, people used to do that to me all the time. Yeah. And I, like, I'm, it's not the worst thing. I mean, yeah. It's obviously, like, not as bad as not tipping.
Yeah.
But it is also, like, a very, like, I'm making this about me thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would never not admit that I make literally everything about me.
God bless
me.
You.
I
mean, God bless you.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm going to do it, I might as well cop to it.
Right.
But it's like a thing where it's like, I'm not like, hello, I'm tipping you. But I'll just be like, I'll like, if he's at the grill, I'll like wait 15 seconds for him to turn around and be like.
And you make a show of it?
I won't make a show, but I'll just be like, all right, man, have a nice night. Because it's like places I go pretty often. Because I only eat it like, I'm like a big creature of habit. So I'm like, I go to like 4 or 5 different places.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, all right, well, these guys know me. And I don't want to, because I don't want to be the guy. It's more that I'm scared is like, because I go to these places so often, I don't want to be the guy who doesn't tip. But it's also like they see so many people every day, they don't give a shit.
Yeah, and they and get stiffed by so many people.
Exactly. Every day. It's so it's just like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah. That's the thing about, like, especially, like, cashier, because I've done both, like, you know, waiter, server, cash, tip, where it's, like, you know, obviously the tips are more, and then there's, and then I've also been, I've had jobs where it's, just like, a tip jar on a counter.
Okay. Yeah.
So I think, after, like, the counter service, like, so many people just don't tip that I just stopped caring after. You just stop caring after a while.
Yeah.
But it's nice.
My buddy worked at, there was this like small chain of like kind of organic-y little restaurants in Manhattan called Snice.
Mm-hmm.
And he worked at one in like the West Village. So like celebrities would go in there all the time. And he, most of the stories he had about them were like pretty whatever. It was like, oh, Louis C.K., tipped fine or whatever. Yeah. But apparently Seinfeld was in there once and got this huge order and like didn't tip at all.
Of course he didn't.
Of course. And then he almost got fired over this, but he went, looks like George isn't the only one who doesn't tip. And then Seinfeld just like turned around and looked at him and then left, and his boss like freaked out.
That's
on him.
That's awesome.
It's so funny.
Yeah.
He's,
M. Ward used to come into my, do you know M. Ward?
Yeah, yeah.
The singer-songwriter M. Ward used to come in.
Him of She and Him.
Exactly. The not Zoe.
Yes, yes.
But the other one.
Yes.
Used to come into my old work all the time. He was like pretty much a regular.
Yeah.
Never fucking tipped.
Really?
Never ever tipped. Zach De La Roca?
Yeah.
Tipped like a fucking lion.
If he didn't.
Of course not.
Oh my God. Everything. Yeah. My whole life would crumble.
Yeah.
My sixth grade me would have a meltdown if I found out that Zach didn't tip. Just being like, I bought this weird bootleg Che Guevara t-shirt because of you, and now you're not tipping.
I kind of wish that he didn't tip, because then I could like have a single tear like fall down my cheek as I'm playing Rage in a boombox above my head as he walks out.
Oh God, I remember, I listened to Rage Against the Machine as like a child, really made me a true weirdo, and it was, I remember them coming out about like the unfair wages that people who picked tomatoes that ended up being sold to like Taco Bell and like like Young Corporation.
Yeah.
And I just remember like putting my foot down and being like, I am not eating at Taco Bell. It's like, you don't have any money anyway. Yeah. But it's still like,
that's how they fucking get you.
I know, but it's the thing where I was like, I'm not, and then now I'm just like eating at Taco Bell every day. And
McDonald's and Taco Bell are like the worst. Yeah. But like, what are you gonna do?
Yeah. It's like you're just there anyway. Yeah. And you could be like, actually, no tomatoes. Yeah. And then you're like, you're not helping at all.
I was listening to Rage for the first time in a long, long time the other day.
Yeah.
Just because I was like, it was really silly, because I was like looking up the Dodgers, like all the music that they walk up to the plate.
Okay.
And one of the dudes who you would not think would walk up to Rage Against the Machine, like walks up to Rage Against the Machine. And I was like, I'm gonna listen to Rage.
Yeah.
And it's fucking crazy that they were a band of that time.
Yeah.
That they did what they did. Like, it's crazy to think that Rage Against the Machine was at Woodstock 99.
Yeah.
Like, with their contemporaries.
Yeah, yeah. Along with Limp Bizkit and Kid Rock.
And they're just doing, like, super political, like, for the people stuff, and everybody else is just, like, you know, doing their thing.
I have talked about it with so many people. The Kid Rock's entrance at Woodstock 99 is one of the craziest things I've ever seen.
Is that when he comes out in a fur coat?
He comes out in a white fur coat with a white fedora.
Yeah.
And then there's a guy standing out there, and he pulls off the coat and the fedora, and then the guy hands him a red fedora
to
match his red, like, Yankees jersey or something, and red, like, track pants.
Yeah.
And it's, and then they go right into Ba with the Ba. It's nuts.
And he's gonna run for Senate.
Oh, my God. Did you see, this is a fun topical reference now, but did you see the video of his, like, quote-unquote campaign speech before his concert?
Yeah.
Oh, brutal.
He's the worst.
He is so bad.
Yeah.
It's like, it's so much harder to, like, jokingly like Kid Rock. It's always been kind of hard.
Yeah.
Because it was, like, a thing where it was, like, I was really into it when I was, like into his first album when I was, like, 11.
Yeah.
So it's, like, oh, it's kind of funny to be, like, oh, I like Kid Rock. But now I'm just, like, I just can't even say it.
And, like, his mythology or whatever, like, coming up as, like, a B-boy in, like, Detroit and, like, had, like, the high top fade and all that stuff. And then you're, like, oh, he just, like, really loves black culture and he's just, like, trying to be, like, Eminem and Elvis, like, all that. It's, like, and then you realize, oh, he's just, like, super racist as well.
So
he's just, like, exploiting black culture while also being racist at the same time.
Yeah, it's, like, such a weird...
At least Eminem, like, came out super hard against Trump. I mean, like...
Yeah. Yeah, in, like, his Eminem way where he literally just makes the crowd say, fuck Trump.
Yeah.
Like, in England.
Yeah.
And you're, like, well, okay, maybe, you know.
Not bad.
Yeah.
At least you're not for it.
Yeah. That's so weird where it's, like... Now with celebrities, you're like, can you at least just say no? Where you're like, we just need you to be like, this guy's not good.
It's just so simple for them to do. I feel it would be like, I think it's like really important for everyone to be, who has like a voice.
Yeah.
Or any like kind of following to do it. Because it's just like, it's no skin. I mean, like, you're going to get hate no matter what.
Yeah.
For whatever you do. So you might as well just fucking do this.
Yeah. It's just so crazy to like. Personality brand strategy thing for people, and you're like, just be a person, and just say, I like humans, and I don't want them to die or get kicked out of the country.
And some people are just trash people, and they're just like kind of into it.
Yeah,
they kind of just like domineering asshole dudes like Trump.
Yeah,
secretly.
Yeah,
but Woodstock '99. I always say that Woodstock '99 is. Our generation's 9/11. That was like, we never, even though 9/11 was in our generation, and Woodstock 99 was 2 years before.
Yeah.
I think we never, as a nation, recovered from Woodstock 99.
I don't think so. From people, like, crowd surfing on a plank of wood to Limp Bizkit and then setting stuff on fire.
Yeah, and, like, assaulting each other nonstop. Yeah,
like, crazy assault.
But Rage was there.
Yeah. And yeah, that's the one thing you're like, well, Rage was there. That was the weird thing where I was like, almost tried to get my mom to let me go. And she was like, what? No.
Oh, not that's even right. Little. You could have gone. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I was like close. But I had to have like somebody take me. And mom was like, absolutely not.
Yeah.
There's no fucking way.
Crazy time for music, man.
Yeah. Oh God.
I used to be really into the band. Cause I grew up in Southern California. So I was like really into like SoCal punk
for
a long time. And a lot of that is very Nazi-ish.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Social Distortion and, like, Pennywise.
Yeah,
and
it's, like, a weird thing where it's, like, they're not.
But they're bro-y. It's,
but,
like, yeah.
But, like, the people, like, a good chunk, especially in, like, Southern California, like, the people that like them are or, like, lean. It's, like, a real weird thing where it's, like, I truly do not understand the archetype of, like, the conservative punk.
Right.
It doesn't make any sense to
me. But it's been there from jump. Like, Black Flag, like, all that stuff, like...
It's like we're, or like the libertarian punk person, where it's like, I don't.
I mean, I see it because it's like, you know, punk rock is just like, it is at its like fundamental core. I feel like just the id, like just like no inhibitions and just like whatever it is. And like for a bunch of like white dudes, that is being a fucking Nazi. Like, they're always gonna like wanna play with that.
Yeah.
Dynamic.
Yeah.
Or even think it's interesting because they've had like easy privileged
lives. Yeah. Yeah. Or just like playing with like Nazi imagery where you're like, well, you don't have to.
No, you really don't.
I feel like that has been played with enough in its time.
Right.
And then, you know, you don't have to anymore.
Just
say you're a Nazi and then we don't, you know, then.
Just like, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Just don't do it.
Yeah. It's brutal. That's like such a crazy thing. It's such a crazy thing now, like because like everywhere I've lived hasn't had like a huge Nazi punk overlap thing. Mm-hmm. But it's like, even if any of that shit kind of came up, people would like squash it out immediately.
Yeah.
So it's crazy that it's like back now on like this huge scale beyond and like in like the real and like in the real public eye.
Right.
Where it's not just like some weird guy with like a screwdriver shirt on at the show where you're like, you gotta get the fuck out.
I think that's why it's just like smaller the better, because you can like, because I've been to like so many punk shows where they're like at small little showcases and like small little punk clubs.
Yeah.
And they're like, you know, like the kids just like fucking police themselves. They don't fucking know fascists, like all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But as soon as like bands get bigger and bigger and bigger and followings get bigger and like you end up fucking, the element just kind of like seeps in because it's like in the mainline. It's like in the mainstream of American culture. It's just always there.
Yeah, and it's so weird because it's like now that like Antifa and stuff is in the news, because it's like I've known people who are like vaguely involved, or like, you know, or like I like kind of know people who have been involved with Antifa and like anarchist stuff for years.
Right.
And it's like I would almost laugh at it sometimes because I'm like, this, all this stuff is gone.
Yeah.
Or it's like, you know, we don't see it that much, especially like in New York City. Like,
yeah,
you know, there's like weird, because there's like weird pockets of skinheads in New York City still.
Right.
Is like
there's like Proud Boys and shit, right?
There's Proud Boys in New York City. There's real skinheads in Greenpoint because it's like a lot of Eastern European people there. So it's like it's just like a weird thing where you're just like, all right, these people just kind of have their own thing, and they're, it's like they're a weird little fringe, you know, like everything.
Yeah.
And then now you're like, oh, this is needed. This is such a real thing.
It's needed
thing.
And it's always just been everywhere.
Yeah.
Like in L.A. and in, like, the outside, like, outside L.A., like, where I grew up, kind of, like, near Orange County and, like, towards the desert and stuff, like, it was filthy.
Yeah.
With that stuff. And, like, now in Baltimore, then there's, like, all the surrounding areas outside of, like, Baltimore City. Not the city itself, but, like, outside, like, the suburbs and stuff.
Yeah.
They're just filthy with Nazis.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so crazy.
There was a neo, there's this place called Joppa, Maryland, which is, like, 15 minutes outside of Baltimore, and they had a festival, a whole like music, like it was a mostly punk, like hardcore bands, but it was like a whole festival of bands and people, and like you just don't go there.
Yeah, there was one of, there was like one of those, and but it wasn't like, it kind of wasn't advertised that way, and it was just at this bar in Williamsburg.
Yeah.
And then they were like, oh, this is what this is, and it like got shut down. Yeah. But it was like, oh, yeah, it's everywhere.
Yeah. And it is, like, like the numbers are dwindling, and it's always going to get shut down because, like, the opposition is so much more.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's even, like, a thing, because even then, it's, like, very much not, like, a right versus left thing. It's just being, like, oh, even, like, it's, like, yeah, I might, it's, like, a weird thing where it's, like, yeah, I might be conservative and right-leaning. It's, like, but I don't want this near my house.
No.
I don't want this shit near me at all.
No.
So it's, like, I don't know. It's such a weird thing. But we're here to talk about television. I can't believe we got off on that tangent. I mean, I can.
Well, I mean, with the Woodstock 99 talk.
It's just, you know, from Woodstock.
It's always going to get in there.
It's going to, yeah. Oh, and Kid Rock.
Ugh.
That bastard.
The worst.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, Josie, though.
I mean, 3'9" with a 10-foot dick in heaven. It's hanging down. Uncle, we don't even have to get an Uncle
Cracker. My favorite thing about the recent, like, what's the, like, the last Kid Rock song that was just, like, had a huge chunk of Sweet Home Alabama.
Oh,
in
yeah,
it
was Sweet Home Alabama mixed with Werewolves of London.
Like, you can't just put a whole other song.
Yeah,
that's like not a sample.
Yeah, because you just have a band playing.
Just release a cover like that.
Yeah, it's so weird because it's like, okay, so you came from rap, but you know music, so you can't just be like, oh, no, I just sampled it. It's like, you're just playing Sweet
Such
Home Alabama
trash,
with your lyrics over it.
He's never been on 6 Feet Under.
That's true, and that's what we're here to, and that's what we're here to talk about today. We are here to talk about 6 Feet Under, baby.
TV Casualty brought to you by Segway.
Oh my God! If we were sponsored by Segway, I would.
I think I feel like Segway should sponsor every single podcast.
I feel like they should be the new Stamps.com or Squarespace.
Yeah,
you just get them in there.
Mail Camp.
Hi, I'm here. It's my. We're going to take a little break, and it's Mike Brizzi here for Segway. Do you want to roll around, but you hate bicycles? Get a Segway.
Segways. Brought to you by Segways.
The greatest Segway moment I've ever seen was on a on like the later era of MTV Cribs, they went to Soulja Boy's house. And he said, "I don't poor people walk." And he got from every room in his house on a Segway. And by poor people walk, he just meant walking on his feet. You know, like how poor people walk on their feet.
And then Adventure of the Segway died on a Segway.
Yeah, which is, oh my God. He like fell off a cliff, right? Yeah. That's the funniest thing that's ever happened in the world.
That's pretty good.
I don't think enough people have ever talked about that.
No.
I mean, wait. What happened?
You didn't know that?
Yeah.
No.
So we just blew producer Leif's mind. The guy who invented the Segway, Jonathan Segway,
William Randolph Segway.
William Randolph Segway. W.R. Segway. He was riding a Segway next to a cliff, and he rode it off of a cliff to his untimely death.
Icarus.
He segued too close to the cliff.
Segway made out of wax. He couldn't do it.
That should replace "you flew too close to the sun." Yeah. Oh, no. I segued too close to the cliff.
I love that.
Are you fucking losing it?
Yeah.
Leif is speechless. Well,
isn't that crazy?
It's insane. Yeah.
Yeah.
So apparently this guy, he wasn't the creator, but...
Yeah.
What he did do was he bought Segway.
Yeah, okay. He was like the Sean Parker of it. Yeah.
And, yeah, he drove it off a cliff into a river. Oh, my God.
Yeah. You should see what happened to the inventor of the fidget spinner. Fuck, dude.
He's so cool.
Yeah.
Wait, there was...
He's fine.
Yeah.
He's
like, wait, did you read that? There was a big article about the inventor of the fidget spinner, though.
Wait, really?
Yeah. It was this woman... Yeah. And she was,
I knew it was a woman too. Yeah.
And she invented it in like the 80s and was super broke and couldn't afford to re-up on the patent. So then she lost it.
Whoa.
And somebody else got it. So then once the fidget spinners like blew up in the last year, she didn't get anything.
No.
Yeah. It's a heartbreaking tale of fidget spinners.
And the fucking patriarchy, man.
Strikes again.
If that isn't the fucking patriarchy, like someone stealing a woman's idea, passing it off their own.
Yeah. Because apparently they've been around for forever.
That breaks my heart.
Yeah.
That sucks.
It's brutal. But we are here to talk about 6 Feet Under.
Ooh, yeah. Fun. Ooh. To lighten things
up. To lighten the mood, we're here to talk about a TV show about a funeral home. Okay, so I start like this usually. Let's see. So 6 Feet Under came out June 3rd, 2001.
Yeah, long time ago.
Yeah. What's a little painting of Eric Dedorian's life? June-ish 2001.
Oh, man.
In a pre-9/11 world.
Just pre-9/11.
Yeah, very.
I was also still a virgin.
Perfect.
19 years old, doing a lot of drugs, living with my parents. I was just about to... I had just met my first girlfriend.
Ooh.
Who I would later lose my virginity to in a couple of months.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And I wasn't really aware of 6 Feet Under yet. I knew, like... Because I hadn't really, like, prestige TV. That was 6 Feet Under was, like, I feel like the fourth or fifth HBO show. It was, wasn't... Sopranos had happened. Sex and the City had happened.
Arliss,
and I think Oz.
Yeah,
Oz was like the first one.
What Larry Sanders, I guess, but like that was it.
That
wasn't
was like way,
held.
Way, way.
Yeah,
way.
And that
it
was
like
not
the,
held.
The second wave
like,
of like
okay,
HBO.
Yeah. Oz was like the first where everyone was like, oh,
yeah,
okay, yeah.
So that's what I was doing. I was pretty much a huge loser, doing drugs all the time. I worked at a restaurant, lived with my parents. Living
that's
the
it.
Life. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pre-9/11
world.
Just pretending to go to community college, but I would never go.
No.
So I'd claim I couldn't find parking.
Oh, okay.
So then I would just go to Borders and read like music magazines.
Were you allowed to use that excuse at community college?
With myself, I was.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't like.
Oh, I thought you could like. Officially I couldn't find any parking. They're like, oh, that's fine. That's
oh,
okay.
You're fine. It's community college.
Yeah, that's, yeah, yeah. You're like, good.
That's just what it is.
We'll still give you the degree.
Here's a pack of cigarettes and a degree.
Fine. Here's a 2-year degree and an application to work for the city.
Yeah.
And then that's it. You'll be fine.
So then I moved to Boston and I lived in Boston for a year and then I came back and I lived in a house that had HBO.
Ooh, okay.
And that's when I started watching 6 Feet Under. So it was like, I think like the third, I watched like the third or fourth season, and then Netflix started. Netflix came out shortly thereafter.
Yeah.
And then I started from the beginning.
Okay, so you got DVDs in the mail?
Yep.
Oh, beautiful. Yep. That was a real huge thing.
Yeah.
One of my apartments was the net. What, like, when my roommate was like, I got Netflix.
Yeah.
And I was like,
yep,
this is the greatest thing.
When I was living in Boston is when I had a roommate who had Netflix, and I was like, this is the craziest fucking thing I've ever seen.
I can't believe this.
Yeah.
Just like no, they just, you don't have to go anywhere.
No.
And they just send it to
you? They just send it to
whatever you. Whatever you want.
And you can take as long as you want watching it, which is like not very long.
Yeah.
Because we were talking about earlier when we were like, you know, we used to go to Blockbuster Video and you like rent a video game for 3 stupid days.
Yeah.
And then it's like, what are you doing now? But Netflix, like, they fixed that problem real good.
Yeah, renting a video game is one of the craziest things. And it's like, all right, I got like 72 hours to try to beat Tony Hawk.
Yeah.
And let's see.
Yeah. And then you can't do anything else for 72 hours.
Yeah. You're just stuck inside the house. And your mom's like, why don't you go outside? I'm like, well, you rented me the video game. So.
But the thing about Netflix was that you know, or like watching a series on Netflix is back then you'd have to wait. You have to wait for the next disc.
Yeah, that's like, because they wouldn't send you, like, the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you can only do it one at a time, and there was only, like, 3 episodes on a disc.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, where you're like, oh, yeah, I'm on season 1, disc 3 right now.
And I hammer television shows into my face, like, nothing.
Yeah.
I love it so much.
I feel like I'm one of the only people who still, like, loves the idea of having to wait a week to watch another episode.
I do like it.
I like it because I'm just like, I can't
handle
this much information at one time. I freak out.
Yeah. I think some shows are more conducive to that, but I'm also just really weird. And 6 Feet Under was one of those shows for me, and I've watched the series 3 times through.
Oh, okay.
And I rewatched it recently. The last time I rewatched it was my fiance's first time seeing it.
Oh, okay.
And she's like, I never want to see it. Like, she loved it. But she was like, I never want to watch the show ever again.
Oh,
like,
really?
Why would you? Yeah. And it's like, she can only watch, like, one at a time.
Yeah.
Especially because they're like, some episodes are super, super intense.
Yeah. I mean, this first episode is.
Is really intense.
Is a lot in one episode.
The first season does not pull any punches.
Yeah. They were just like, this is what. Because it's like an HBO thing. So they're just like, we'll just fucking do it.
It's fucked up.
Yeah.
Oof. Yeah. That pilot.
I mean, it starts with the father. It's like based around, I mean, if you haven't watched it, it's a weird thing that you listen to this episode. But it starts with the father who owns the funeral home where the whole family lives and works.
Nathaniel Fisher.
Yeah.
And sons.
Dies.
Yep.
He's going to pick up his son at the airport and bends down to light a cigarette and gets creamed by a bus.
Yep.
Nailed.
Yep.
And dies immediately on Christmas Eve.
Yep.
Brutal.
I think it was Christmas Day.
Maybe.
Christmas Eve or Christmas Day,
Yeah. And wait, is this set in LA?
Yeah.
Yeah?
That's why it's one of my favorites.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Because it was just like, all right, it was like, because he talks about flying down from Seattle.
He works at a co-op in Seattle. Yeah. The son,
that
Nate
reveal
Fisher,
is so funny.
It is really funny.
Yeah, just being like, I'm the assistant manager for produce at the biggest co-op in Seattle.
And he's the oldest, and he's like the golden child who like, who becomes a fuck up, and he becomes a stoner, and he like can't, he doesn't want to like live up to his dad's whole deal.
Yeah, which is something that doesn't ring true in my life at all.
No.
At all. Not even a little.
No.
No, I've actually exceeded everyone's expectations.
Crush my dad.
Yeah. My father bows at my feet every time I go home now.
I arm wrestle him every morning.
I mean, I did try to fight my dad once, and...
Wait, really?
Yeah. I was like 17.
Yeah.
And, oh.
I came close.
I think it came... It was like a shoving match.
Yeah.
And then he, like, shoved me hard enough where I fell down.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah, he's a... I was like, because my dad's pretty short.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, yeah, I could beat up my dad now.
Yeah.
And I was like 17, and it was immediately like, your father would murder you.
Yeah.
Like one punch. So it's like, oh yeah, this is the guy who like mainly works for a living.
Yeah.
He like, you know, you haven't done a push up in 3 years since you quit the wrestling team, and you think you can beat up your dad who like works on boilers and like
no
uses
way.
His whole body.
Yeah, and though, he's got that old timey strength.
Yeah, like, he could still do clap push ups because he was in the
Navy.
Wait,
really?
Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
Wow, and he was in the Navy.
He was
too?
In the Navy. He was in the Navy, and he could still do clap push ups in his 50s. Yeah. And I was like, no, I can probably swing on my dad.
No.
Yeah, never.
I came close. Like we were having a really really intense argument. He was being a huge dick to me, and he went to like grab my arm, and he grabbed my arm really hard, and I like just grabbed my arm out and like slapped his arm down, and I like clenched my fist.
Yeah.
And then he was like, oh, what, are you gonna hit me?
Yeah.
And he had like the dumbest look on his face, and I was like, no.
Yeah,
no, I'm not gonna hit. But that's also like, I've never really like gotten into like fights. Like I've gotten beat up a lot.
Yeah.
But I've never like got, and that was like one of the closest times I've ever come to like really hitting someone.
Yeah,
I've got stupid ass dad.
I've gotten into a lot of fights and I've lost most of them.
Yeah,
which is pretty fun.
I've gotten really close to throwing punches. I've just gotten jumped a lot.
Okay, yeah.
So it's like I never really fought back because
you're like, wait, whatever. There's already three of you punching me. Yeah. Yeah, I just, my high school, it was like all fights all the time, and you're just like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
It was a thing where you're just like, it's not even, like, you're just like resigned to it, and you're just like, okay, come on, let's fight, and then you'll punch me in the face, and then I'll try to punch you in the face, and then we'll get broken up, and then.
It's so stupid.
Yeah, I'm just like, oh, God, I don't want to be a part of this thing.
Yeah. It's just like, I've never been in a situation where I've like really, really, really needed to like take that next step.
Yeah. I think about it all the time, though.
I do. I think about it all the time. And, like, now, when we live in a world where there's Nazis afoot and you have to fucking fight Nazis.
Yeah.
Then I think about it even more. But, like, yeah, I do think about it all the time.
Yeah. It's brutal.
Stupid male mind.
Yeah. I just, it's like, it's so easy for me. Like, that's the same thing with me spitting at the bus. It's, like, just so easy for me to revert right to, like.
Yeah.
Like, everything I've learned, everything I've been like, this is what my personality is. Yeah. I'm, like, a nice person.
Yeah.
I try to do all this stuff. And then it's, like, immediately I'm like, oh, I got spit at the bus. Or like, I just, like, turn into, like a animal.
Yeah.
You're just like, oh, yeah, like dogs, where you're just like, oh, yeah, right. I gotta fight this thing because it's encroaching on my territory.
Which is great. I mean, like, yeah. And, like, some people just, like, there's some, like, some men who just, like, give into that. And they fucking love it. And they, like... It becomes their entire personality. Of like, I am animal.
I'm an animal.
I'm here to spread my seed and fucking fight every other fucking male.
Listen, this is the number one alpha male podcast in the world, I think.
Welcome to fight.com, fuckface.
Yeah, fight.com/fuck. We're here to talk about this.
Fuck.com/.fight. .gov. Well, it's going to be .gov. It might as well be .gov, right?
Sponsored by the government.
Yeah. Legit.
Fightyourdad.gov.
Fight North Korea after that.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you like to punch people? Why don't you go to North Korea and punch Kim Jong-un?
Fight.gov. Oh, that's gonna be a real fucking thing, isn't it?
I think it is.
Damn it!
If we don't have it already, I mean, I don't think you can buy .govs, but
I think if any president's gonna sell off .govs, it's gonna be this fuckface.
Yeah. So I think that'll be all right. But yeah, it's like, but 6 feet under is immediately like so much.
Yeah.
Where you're like, oh, okay. Because it's definitely fun because it premiered in June 2001 and you're like, oh, immediately you can like tell this is in a pre-9/11 world because there is a sex scene in a closet at an airport.
Right. Yeah.
Immediately.
Yeah.
Where you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah. Where he meets a stranger on the he meets this woman on the plane.
Played by Rachel Griffith.
Yeah. Who was great.
Yeah.
And they just fuck in a supply closet.
Yep.
And that's when as soon as they finish having sex, which is like a weird coincidence.
Yeah.
He immediately finds out that his father is dead.
Yeah.
And
the pilot, like, it shows, now I see why people like want to start asking you a bunch of questions about all these shows. Cause I could see like, I'm like, what did you think about that?
Like, yeah.
Cause the show, like, it's about a family. Yeah. And the main-ish focus of the family is this eldest son.
Yeah.
Who's just had sex on a plane. But the show follows around each member of the family. There's the mom. There's a younger brother. And then there's three adult kids. There's a high school-aged girl who's, like, the youngest. Her name is Claire. And there's David, who's, like, the son who stayed.
Yeah, he, like, stayed to helm the business still.
And he's a type A closeted gay man.
Yeah.
And he stays and he's, like, does all the business stuff. And then there's the free spirit, hippie, fucking stoner, loser, oldest, who goes to Seattle and comes back.
Yeah, and he's just there for...
Yeah.
He's just... He just happens to be coming back for Christmas, Eve and Christmas.
And I can't remember, is the dad dying the first scene?
I think the first scene is like a...
He talks to the wife.
He has a wife with the phone. Yeah. He's like on the phone with her in the car, hangs up, bends down to light his cigarette, and doesn't see that he's going through a red light, and just smashes...
Yeah. And since then, every single time I see that camera angle of the camera being in the passenger seat looking at the driver, and you can see oncoming traffic, I just cringe.
Yeah.
Because I'm just like waiting for that fucking oncoming car.
Yeah, just
the bus.
Yeah. And they even they kind of revisit that shot when Nate is out jogging after his dad dies, where he's like, Because they have this cool, they do this cool thing where they like put you in this full dream sequence and don't like make it look all wavy or smoky. They just show it to it's you like it's reality. Yeah. So it's like him, like he's out running and he's at a street corner and he peeks his head out and he sees that a bus is coming up and probably the same bus that hit into his dad. And then he stands in front of the bus. And the bus hits him, and he flies back, and then you like see a bunch of blood pouring out of his head, and then it cuts, and then the cut is to him back still on the corner,
they
like
do that a lot,
looking out down the street to see the bus still coming at him.
They maintain that for the rest of the series,
and
it's like it's never not jarring.
Yeah,
because you're like, oh fuck.
They did play with it a little bit with. There's like one scene where David is like, I think it's. After he finds out his dad died, but they're still at, like, a funeral service for someone else that he's working in the funeral home where – so in his head, he's screaming, and then it cuts back, and he just is stone-faced in reality. Yeah. And then there's another scene where a woman is talking to him at the dad's funeral, and then he just starts screaming, and she's just, like – just like backs up with eyes wide, and you're like, oh,
so is that in the pilot?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Fuck, that's so smart. Because it's like – it just deals – because, you know – that's just how death is. Like, that shock of death, like, the reality of death, like, people dealing with other people while they're grieving, and they're, like, people dealing with other people's grief, like, you just want to fucking do that sometimes. You just want to, like, scream like that, and, like, and then the whole, like, fake, the dream sequences is like that, too, because sometimes you just, like, it just feels so not real.
Yeah.
All like, if you've been around death or whatever.
Yeah, that was, like, what was... I like the big climax is at the big climax of the episode, I guess, is like at the end where they're at the dad's funeral in the cemetery, and they're like, they have like the weird, I also love the trope. I don't know if it keeps going on, but there's like all the fake commercials inside of the show, like for all the funeral home kind of like
the
products,
the formaldehyde
that they need.
Yeah,
the formaldehyde, and then there's like the shaker for the earth where you just like pour dirt on it. So then they have like this like porcelain shaker that they're just like pouring dirt on top of their dad's casket, and then Nathaniel like freaks out and like grabs a bunch of dirt with his hand and like causes a scene at the funeral, and then him and David getting like that big argument afterwards, being like, just being like, this, it's like, it's basically like the two sides. It's like, people aren't supposed to be so prim and proper, right. and then
death is fucked up, it's dirty,
it's
fucking dirty,
like that real early 2000s being like, I'm different, man, and then it's just like,
he's just like that the entire scene,
it's
really great.
And then David's just like,
because he's so terrible,
and then David's like, no, people, we provide like a very pristine service for people, And it's like, and it's a weird thing where it's like, you can't just waltz back in here after leaving the family. And it's like a weird thing where it's like, I've never gotten the feeling from my family of like people resenting you for
have you for like leaving and coming back?
Yeah. Is that a big thing?
Well, it's like I think it's a fuck up oldest child thing.
Okay,
like the oldest child who gets like who's kind of spoiled and like deified, and then they can't live up to the pressure, and so they bone out.
Okay.
But then they feel bad and they want to be part of the family again, and so they come back. Right. But I've definitely had, because I don't have a bunch of siblings. I have one sister.
Yeah.
But, and we're great now, and, well, greatish.
Yeah.
But through, you know, I've gone through a lot of like tough times with my family of like being an outcast and like not, them like not understanding me at all. And
yeah.
Me not really understanding them anymore. So during those worst times, like I definitely had that almost exact conversation with my sister, like a bunch.
Yeah.
Because she's the one that stood, like, I mean, we don't have like a family business or anything, but she stayed and like, you know, my parents are immigrants and they kind of don't really know what to do most of the time. Just kidding, Mom. She's not listening.
Yeah.
But so she's, my sister like runs my parents' lives pretty much.
Oh, okay. Yeah, my parents were, it's like, especially because they're split up. Yeah. So it's a thing where they're just like, whatever, go live your life.
Yeah.
I think it might be because my older sister stayed. Like, she now lives in the town. She moved back to the town that we grew up in.
Yeah.
And lives walking distance from the high school that we both went to.
Yeah.
And it's a thing where it's like, and that's the same town that my dad still lives in.
Yeah.
And then she like hangs out, like my mom is very, because my sister is 4 years older than me, but I have a niece and a nephew who are, my niece is a teenager and my nephew is like in middle school. So my sister had kids really young. So it's a thing where it's like, they're just like, it's like a weird thing where like my parents are very much a part of their life, like very close.
Because
my sister is so young. And it's just like a weird thing where they're like they're always around. So then I've just kind of been this little. I'm the youngest. I have like an older, even older half sister, but she's lived in Washington State my entire life. So she's like in and out. She just will like come visit in the summers and then go back to Washington.
And how much older is your other sister?
Like, so my sister Allison is 4 years older than me, and then my sister Vanessa is 4 years older than her.
Okay. And she lives in Washington State.
Yeah. Yes. And she's from my dad's first marriage.
Yeah.
And all this stuff. So she would just come out during the summers when she didn't have school and stay with us for the summer, but then just leave. So it wasn't like a thing. So like her not being around isn't, it's a like, thing. It's very natural.
Right.
And so then like my sister being around is there. And then I've just been like the little bit like, okay, I'm going to go live in upstate New York for a couple of years. And then I'm like, okay, now I'm going to go be a comedian in Brooklyn.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then they're just like, all right. What? Yeah. Like they just, it's like not even a, it's not even a thing anymore for them, but they're just like, they're like, oh, you live in Brooklyn? Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And it's like, so it's not impressive,
right?
Which is like, it shouldn't be.
It's pretty much, that's pretty much like what my family is. They just like don't care anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
They, you know, when I moved, like I said, I was like moved to Boston, like that was their thing because I was like doing drugs and like fucking up and I just got DUI.
Oh.
And they're like, you need to fucking go and like live with your aunt and like see if it's like you just need like a change of environment, and I did, but yeah. And then since then I've like moved around a bunch, and like at this point now they just don't care.
Yeah.
They're
like, just like, oh, Eric's doing his Eric
given up,
thing.
They like they've given up on me a long time ago.
Yeah.
And they're like, whatever you want to do, dude.
Yeah. It's a weird thing where it's like,
which is how, funny enough, which is I think how their dad, the Fisher's dad, who dies.
Yeah, yeah.
He kind of just feels that way about his children, and especially his, like, oldest son. He just, like, didn't care after a while.
Yeah, yeah. He's just kind of like, yeah, okay, cool.
Yeah.
You moved to Seattle. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, like, weird, like, because, like, Claire, like, doesn't really have anything to do with the family business.
Does she do the drugs in the first episode,
She
too?
Smokes meth in the first episode.
And she's high on meth when she finds out that her dad dies.
Yeah, she's high on meth, and she announces it to all of her friends, and her boyfriend is that guy. He's, like, the rat-faced-looking guy with the mustache.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So she announces it to all of them, and they think it's a joke.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, haha. And she's like, no, it's serious.
Yeah.
And, And then she, like, pulls Nate to the side to be like, I'm freaking out. He's like, I don't give a shit. And it's like this weird thing.
That's the scene that got me into the show.
Yeah.
Because I was like, this dude is a dick.
Yeah,
I was like, this is so interesting that this, like, main character is, I mean, this is, like, predates Don Draper and all that.
Other, like
now the anti, great white anti-heroes, like, fucking puke on my dick, dude. I don't fucking care. But at that point, he was like, that was like a refreshing conversation where this like younger, it was like so crazy to me.
Yeah,
because she was like, I need you right now. And then he's like, I don't fucking want to deal with you right
now. Yeah, because it's like, it's almost the antithesis of like, I'm trying to think, maybe like Party of Five or something. Yeah. Where it's like exactly. Family stuff is like so saccharine and so sweet.
Because they're orphans in Party of Five, right?
Yes, and they're all together and they're like, we have, like, we're all we have. And
I never made that connection.
Yeah. It's just a thing where she's just like, yeah, fuck off. Like, yeah. I have to go identify our dead father because our mom is too distraught to do it. So figure your life out. Like, figure your own shit out.
It's such a crazy show.
Yeah.
I love it because I remember before I started watching the show, I read this article about the showrunner, Alan Ball, and the reason why he started and wrote the show is that he had a bunch of deaths in his family in, like, a very quick time.
Oh, okay.
Like, I think, I feel like a dick for bringing it up because I don't know the actual people that died, but it was, like, three or four people who were, I think it was his wife, his dad, his brother, all died within, like, 6 months.
Oh, God, that's,
And he fucking flipped.
Yeah.
And he, like, wrote the show, and it was fucking crazy. And then knowing that, watching the show, I was like, this is so interesting. Because the whole time, Nate, and I think David, in a different way, are his, like, surrogates or whatever.
Yeah.
Because he's just, because in the article, he just talks about how this country, how Americans just, like, deal with death completely different than other cultures.
Yeah.
And I've thought, and that's just kind of stuck with me since.
Yeah, it's just such a weird, it's so crazy, like, just, like, dealing with death here, where it's just, like,
they want to sanitize it.
Yeah. It's not a thing. Right. It's just, like, you just go. It's, like, it's weird because even, like, my job is nothing. So it's, like, I'm my own boss. So if I want to take 2 weeks off, I can do that. But it's, like, it's a weird thing where it's, like, my mom. So, like, my parents have had these best friends for as long as I've been alive. Where it's this couple, Corey and Amory. And they're, like, Amory, my mom, best friends, and Corey, my dad, were best friends forever. My dad worked at Corey's machine shop when he was on unemployment. Like, their machine shop was my first job ever. Cool. And
that's a cool ass first job.
Yeah, it's
Long Island.
Yeah, they would just give me these, like, steel, because they would make, like, these, like, really intricate, like, steel parts for, like, x-ray machines and all this shit. And, like, my job was literally just take the ones that were just pressed and, use, like a orbital sander kind of, and like just like hit off all the little
nicks
burrs
and stuff
that are on there.
And that was
just my all summer. I just did that.
Yeah.
But so Corey died earlier this year.
Oh, okay.
So it was like a big thing for my family and my mom, like this whole thing. And it was just like her job, just like it, cause it wasn't a family member. So they were just like, what do you want us to do about this? Like, they didn't really care.
Yeah.
And it's just like a weird thing. It's like, oh,
how fucked up is that?
Yeah. It's like, oh, just you guys just like, it's just like, oh, yeah, okay, you can take the day off to go to the funeral, but then that's it. And it's like, yeah, and you lose a sick day or, like, a personal day.
What does your mom do?
She is, like, the shipping coordinator for a company that does, like big soundboards and lighting for, like stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So but it's, like, a small office, so it's not – so it's, like, she can just go to the owner's office and be, like, my best friend just died. I need a couple of days off. And they're like, sure. But they're your personal days.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, what the – that's such a weird fucking
thing.
And
they do the same thing with, like, pregnancies too.
Yeah.
It's like on both ends. Like, you can't fucking win.
Yeah.
People are just going to fucking exploit your ass.
Yeah.
In birth and in death.
Yeah. We're like, oh, you're having a baby? Well, I hope you –
you better be back in 3-6 weeks.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's such a weird thing. That's like – I don't know. But, yeah, the show –
are you going to watch the show?
I might – it's like a real – it's a real weird thing to be
do
like –
do people ask that all the time? Because do you just always watch the pilot? And
I
then...
always watch the pilot. There's been a few where I've watched more episodes, but not a lot.
What?
I watched – so then I did The Sopranos, and then I watched the full first season of that.
Yeah.
I watched season one. I did Mad Men, and then I watched like 3 episodes, and I was like, all right. And then I just – a couple weeks ago, maybe like a week or two ago, I watched Insecure.
And
then I'm like, so now I'm watching season one.
Yeah.
So then it's like, oh, I have season one, and then season two just ended, so Insecure's I get to watch season
fucking
two.
Incredible.
Yeah. Oh my god.
And it gets. And the first season is really, 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 really good.
Yeah.
But the second season is like, is pretty fucking.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what, because I had Chrissy Cello on to talk about it, and she was telling me that like season two is even better.
It is really better.
Yeah. And we recorded like the day, the morning of the season finale. So which finale hadn't even happened yet.
It was one of those shows. That was one of the shows that I was like, I've been watching in real time since it started.
Yeah.
And I'm like so stoked to like wait every Sunday night and you watch it.
And you're like, yes, this is.
Yeah. Because everybody's watching Game of Thrones, and I watch Game of Thrones kind of, but I'm like kind of off of it. Because it's just gotten really boring. And Insecure is so different. It's just so grounded in reality, and it's funny.
That was my favorite thing, where it was like, oh yeah, this feels. That was my like. I was like, oh, this feels real.
Yeah,
this feels like life. Like all this is pulled from real life experience. Yeah.
So the pitch for 6 Feet Under that I would give you is that every episode starts with a death.
Yeah,
that is shot in. It's a cold open.
Oh, okay.
And that's the. Because they run, like, the whole show is about a funeral home.
Yeah.
So that's the death that they deal with. So they deal with a death, an episode that ends with a funeral. And that's pretty much every episode of the series until, like, the last season. And some of them are really brutal, the deaths.
Yeah.
Some of them are very funny.
Oh, yeah, that was like, so weird. It was, like, some of this was, like, it was, like, such a dark, heavy show. And a lot of stuff was, like, almost slapsticky, too. Yeah. And it was, like, really weird, like, a really weird kind of dichotomy to process where you're, like, how overreactive the mom was the entire first episode.
Her arc is incredible.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because it was, like, she was, like, she was acting like it was, like, a stage production almost, and it was wild at some points.
And she, and so, essentially, her... like married life until her husband dies was like a play.
Yeah.
And then so as soon as her husband died, like the fourth wall came down.
Oh, okay.
And then so she just kind of begins this new life, this new journey that's her living like for herself for the first time without any of these like fakeities and niceties and stuff. So she just gets really real, and it's and Frances O'Connor, I think that's her name. I'm going to go with it.
Yeah,
she's fucking incredible.
Yeah.
And she nails it. And then Claire Fisher, the daughter, is probably my favorite character in all of television.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. She was great.
Yeah.
But it was just like, really the first episode was everyone like ripping Nate a new asshole to be like, you can't just come back.
One of the main writers from Jump was Jill Soloway.
Oh, okay.
So she's like, so there's a huge feminist tilt to a lot of it.
Yeah. That was great. I really want to see the storyline of David and his secret boyfriend.
Ooh, Keith. man.
The hot cop.
Oh my god, he used to come into the pizza place that I worked at a pizza place like balls deep in Hollywood, and he would fucking come in, and I was like, "Dude, you are so hot." and he was like always just really cool, and I never ever said anything about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, hot fucking cop with a mustache. Oh, and that whole arc, their relationship is incredible.
Yeah.
And then David is goes through this horrific thing. He gets kidnapped. This entire it is one of the most like grueling episodes of television ever.
That's insane.
For me anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it was in LA, and it was in like the neighborhood that I used to live in.
Oh,
and he gets like kidnapped. And it's a whole episode of him just being kidnapped. Oh, God, it's the worst. Yeah,
that's unreal.
I love that show, man.
Yeah. No, it's really fun. My ex, when we were together, she had, like, the DVD box set with, like, the grass on top of it.
Good for her.
Yeah, yeah. And then she was just like, she would always be like, I'm going to watch 6 Feet Under. And I'd be like, okay. And then I would just, like, immediately fall asleep because it's just.
It's real talky.
Yeah.
It's real slow. But there's some really funny, like, in the second season, I think, Rainn Wilson joins the cast for, like, the second season, and he plays, like a mortician, like, a funeral student
who's,
like, just pitching in.
Yeah.
And he starts like a kind of affair with the mom.
Oh.
And it's really, it ends very, very funny.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, I loved, what was his name?
Think of what else was on.
Frederico?
Yeah.
I loved, he,
yeah.
He really reminds me of like my sister's partner.
Yeah.
Like, cause they, it's a weird thing where it's like they've been together for forever and I think they're engaged, but they're not telling anyone. So it's weird to be like my sister's boyfriend and she's like in her 30s and it's like a whole thing. But it's like, yeah. So this guy, Matt, who's like really, he always really means well. He's a little dumb.
Yeah.
But it's always just, he's just like the part where Frederico.
He's really proud.
He's like proud and it's just like, oh, like just like loves talking to everyone and is like very good about that. But the part where Frederico is like talking to the lady at the dad's funeral being like, oh yeah, I attached that guy's ear back.
Yeah.
Just like being like something that you probably shouldn't be talking about out loud at a funeral home.
My favorite thing, and because he is this, like wunderkind.
Yeah.
He's just, like, a natural fucking undertaker.
Yeah.
Like, he was just had this, like, ability to, like, put people's fucking heads back together.
Yeah, his, like, before and after shots that he kept in, like, the operating room is so funny to me.
And, like, the dad, it kind of, like, the show for the entire series maintains the thoughtfulness of perspective for all the characters that it like does in the pilot. Like you really just equally follow along every single person.
Yeah.
And it's the best.
Yeah. And I loved like the dad just being, is he there for the entire show?
That's like I was trying to remember that. I don't think so.
Yeah. Because they do a thing.
Maybe.
So it's like, maybe he like pops up like every once in a while. Cause it's the thing where they just have him like, his ghost, but it's just him.
But he's like wearing like a Hawaiian shirt now.
Yeah,
he's like drinking tiki drinks. And he's like stoked to be dead.
Yeah. He's like, oh, I just get to be me now.
Yeah,
but he's just like around, and everyone's like talking to him.
I'm pretty sure he's around for the whole time.
Yeah,
but they stopped doing all those commercials and shit.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
that was like one of my favorite parts.
But the deaths, the cold open deaths. That's what. If anything, just watch like just watch those.
Just YouTube the 6 feet under death
like,
compilations.
Because as the series progresses, we like get into like Bush era, like 2003, 2004.
Yeah.
So they start to get political and there's like a lot of politics involved. And
oh, weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's always such a weird thing where it's like shows commenting on like the political landscape in life, but that have, it's like, this is just a show about a funeral home.
Yeah.
So it's like very funny to be like, oh yeah, we're going to talk about George Bush somehow in this show while we're embalming someone.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very fun. But yeah, the show was great. I think it was fun. I'll probably watch a few more episodes. Nothing that I've watched has, I think it's just that I don't like watching television that much, where it's like nothing has stuck for more than a season.
Right.
So yeah, it was really.
Well, this is going to be probably pretty hard for you then to get into, because it's like, it's an hour long.
Yeah.
And it's like, the pacing is pretty slow.
Oh, Insecure being half an hour is the greatest thing that's ever happened.
Atlanta's half hour too, and those guys are just fucking, those episodes are just perfect.
That's the thing where it's like, I'm like really horrible about keeping up. So I watched like, when it came out, I watched like the first three episodes, and then I was like, this is great. And I told everyone how great it was.
Yeah.
I was like, I love Atlanta, and then I've not watched it since.
Oh man. They're on Hulu.
Yeah.
I'm like, I get really excited about stuff, especially about like movies and television shows. So I always like love stuff, and I feel really, really bad about it when I watch something like Atlanta, because I like wanted to save some of that like juice for something that I really like. I just think Atlanta is so good.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and I feel like now I talk about it so much, I'm like kind of like,
the boy
that cried, oh my god, the show's amazing, you have to watch it.
Okay. Yeah,
you know.
But that's the thing where it's like that's everyone now too, where it's like every show is amazing.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm just like, so it's like, I really have to like figure out whose taste I really like line up with or enjoy. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, you like this thing. Okay. Then I'll maybe listen to you.
And another thing about Six Feet Under is like, it's really dated. It's like, it's hard for me to watch that stuff.
Yeah.
Now.
It's so 2000. Like, this episode was so 2001. Yeah.
Like, I tried to rewatch Mad Men, and I was like, I can't do it. It's like so 2008. I just can't, like.
Yeah.
I can't.
Yeah, it's like
with
weird.
The, like, yeah.
And then, I could rewatch Seinfeld 4,000 times.
Yeah.
And then just be like, yeah, it's the 90s.
Yeah.
So I think it's just, yeah. I think it's just like a little bit of time has to pass because it's like, especially now with like 2001, where it's like, I have too many memories from this time.
Yeah.
And then you're like, ugh. Or, yeah, just like, even like what Brenda's like weird little phone, like her cell phone that had like a weird little mouthpiece that folded out from it.
Yeah.
You're like, I can't. This is hard to look at.
Oh, Brenda's storyline is crazy.
It's wild.
Yeah. Yeah. She plays like, she's like a child genius.
Oh, okay.
And her brother gets introduced, played by Jeremy Sisto.
Yeah, he was there in like the...
Is he in the first episode?
He's in there for like a second.
Yeah.
Where she's like...
My brother. I got to talk to him on the phone or something like
that. Oh, no. He's just like, they're there together. Like, because she's home
for
Christmas too. So she's eating like olives out of the fridge.
Yeah.
And he comes in. He's like screaming at the refrigerator. And she's like, I have the olives. And she goes to hand him one. And then he takes the entire container.
Yeah.
And then just walks away.
That's,
and that was the whole scene.
And that's their relationship.
Oh, that's a little peek right there.
It's fucking creepy and very weird.
Oh, is it like a vaguely sexual
yep.
relationship? Oh, those always...
And he's a schizophrenic.
Oh, okay.
It's fucking crazy.
Yeah. Those always weird me out a little. Like,
yeah.
More than a little bit. Like, or like, what was that? I just rewatched Cruel Intentions,
mm-hmm.
I think.
Yep. And it's very similar to that.
Yeah, like that weird, like, Ryan Phillippe and Sarah yeah. Michelle Gellar relationship where you're like...
They play like hyper, like both their parents are therapists.
Yeah.
So it's like hyper intellectual household. They're like super, super rich. They like live in Malibu.
Ooh.
What
a life that would
be. Yeah. So it's like, oh my God, our privilege has ruined us.
Yeah.
That whole thing. But they're really weird and creepy.
Yeah. But yeah, the show is beautiful. Do you have anything else you want to add about it before we wrap up?
I love Claire Fisher. The last episode is the saddest, most triumphantly teary-eyed.
Oh yeah,
hour you'll ever spend.
A little,
if you do the work,
is there a little redemption?
Kind of.
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of is. It's kind of a really, really sweet ending because
yeah.
it's like, that's just life.
Yeah,
it's death. It really made me. The show really did make me think about death in a completely different way.
Ooh, okay. This might be one that I like. Take a while to yeah. trudge through.
It's not for everyone.
Yeah, but I did like it from the first, like the first episode.
Yeah.
So it was like, because there's some shows where I've just been like, I can't believe that this is a television show.
Yeah,
but yeah, this one was fun. I liked it a lot.
Cool.
Yeah. Awesome. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. Do you want to? You know, it's the end of a podcast. It's time for plugs.
Plug me on my own podcast. It's called Groomzillas. Started with my friend Dan Gill. We're both getting married, and we're both groomzillas, and it's fun. You should listen to it on iTunes and everything.
Cool. Yeah. Great. And yeah, you should definitely follow Eric on Twitter. He's a great follow. I'm a big fan. And yeah, you follow me at Micah Brucey on everything. And yeah, just do whatever you do with podcasts, with rate them and review them and subscribe to them and tell all your friends about them, because I feel like I'm shouting into the void most yeah. of the time.
Because we are.
Yeah, we are. So, cool. Thanks so much, and I'll see you next week. All right, bye. Mwah, mwah.